Hello, everybody, and welcome back to LARPs and TARPs. That's right, I have finally returned from deepest, darkest London.
what a cesspit.
We are here to continue the coverage of Empire E2 Part 2. I am joined by four wonderful hosts. I'm joined by Tom.
Only Tom.
The only Tom.
The only Tom.
Yeah. Tom, Kerry, Alex, and Chloe, as usual.
Hooray!
Hello.
Hi.
How did you guys do without me? Was everything all right?
Wonderfully. Yeah, I think it went well.
I think it was better.
Yeah.
That's good.
Big improvement.
It was easier for Alex to edit.
Val, I was busy.
Oh, yeah. We didn't go off book at all.
Oh, I didn't have to cut out all of your, like, terrible remarks.
Yeah.
The sneezing.
The farting.
I was busy sorting out the situation with LARP and our arsehole.
Crowbar. Yeah.
How are the kneecaps?
I think the less said about that, the better.
Not incriminating.
I'm sure they'll cover that on their podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure you'll hear about it soon. but yeah. So where did you guys get to?
Saturday, like late afternoon-ish.
Pre-evening.
That's a new one.
Do you want to run through what you got up to previous to this?
Quick fire round.
How long have I got? Give me the time.
You've got
20 seconds.
Previously, or more than that.
I reckon 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay. I arrived in Anvil, walking in after fighting the cold sun in Miaren. There are only two armies left now, one in Miaren, one in Hanmark. Marched in with Juniper from House Defrost and with Sol. Made our way into Dawn, and as I made my way into Dawn, I saw a good friend of mine dressing in his armor, and he said, "Tristan, I've got something to tell you." I said, "What?" He says, "You're leading a skirmish in 45 minutes."
And I went, "What a treat."
"Oh, okay, excellent."
Do you ever get nervous about doing a skirmish?
Tom, he's only got 10 minutes.
And I'm just curious.
Yeah, this is... you're eating into my time of talking about myself. This is really upsetting. I've never led a skirmish before. I have led one skirmish, but like not a big one. And this was... I knew kind of OC before going in. I see Tristan didn't know, and also...
I missed my handle and dipped my fingers in the tea.
You missed your handle?
He's just
fingers in.
I just looked at Tom. And just,
Tom.
Not looking at you, he was looking at you and he's just gone.
Grabbed your tea from the inside.
Yeah, like his fingers went.
How do you even do that?
Demonstrate.
It's been a long couple of days.
We'll stick a little drawing of how Tom grabbed his tea.
Tom, Morgan's trying to talk about himself over here. Can we just stop interrupting?
Back to me.
The Morgan monologues.
I'll wait for Chloe to recover because she will inevitably choke on her beverage. So we just need to wait for those.
As is tradition.
I have a master's degree.
Not in tea drinking, that's for sure.
Two tea, Tommy.
Why does it go over?
His fingers were like fully in.
I didn't want to exactly replicate it because I didn't want to get tea everywhere.
Sorry. I'm glad I witnessed that.
We got a bit further before we got derailed.
I reclaim my time.
Just restart the clock, Alex.
Yeah, interesting RP moment for me as a character for internal reflection, because Tristan's always been fairly adamant that yo folk should not lead nobles. So that was an interesting moment because I was nervous on the skirmish. I think that's going to create some interesting conversations with other players that I've spoken to. Anyway, leading a skirmish against a sergeant of the Deadwood Knight who we've spoken about before, called the Broken Erin. Very cool fight. I kind of led us all up to the front. We had a good contingent of people at the front who could strike them down to just crumple the start of their line and push in. Worked excellently. Then we identified the Broken Erin. And then me and another character were fighting for the killing blow. So we got to it and both our kind of arms wrapped around each other. And we like fully like grappled at like, because we'd already discussed we've got a bit of beef. We're trying to wrestle each other's arms out of the way. And as we turned around, we just fully got third partied because someone else took the killing blow and we were like, oh, which was very funny. I got a traumatic wound. Love a traumatic wound. Mm. Got that healed.
What a treat.
Oh, this was fun. So now all my kit, all my battle kit opens down the front, like, so it's like buckles and clips and stuff. Yeah. Well, what was really fun was being able to, like, when I was getting surgery, actually kind of pull it open off fake blood on my chest, which was, like, very, very cool.
I love a bit of fake blood at LARP.
Oh,
like,
so
bare skinned?
Yeah. It was, like, on my shirt. Well, not on bare skin.
No nipples at LARP.
No, because it was like, because I think it's had my entire top off. So just like pull it apart a little bit. Like, so just,
yeah,
like, because sometimes it's like, here's some fake blood on your chainmail. Like, that's a lot of rust and doesn't make any sense. But it was cool to have it like actually on me. Mm-hmm. Then we had the Deadwood Night meeting, which I believe you've spoken about.
Yes.
Excellent news. Where we spoke about going into some historical research. Some questions had been asked and we were waiting for answers. Following some stuff about the Deadwood Night, which was very exciting. And I'm hoping it results in some fun little wins of fortune and not whatnot. I then had a funeral. I went to the funeral. They read porn at the funeral.
Of course, fantastic.
It was a freeborn funeral. So, and then you're not allowed to be sad at a freeborn funeral. So they read some smut and they replaced
at
the
name. At least it was in character then and not just people being silly.
Well, exactly, yes. They replaced the names of one of the people in the porn, in the smut, for the person who died. It was very exciting.
Very respectful.
It was also
like
very funny because there was a lot of build-up to like the good bit. And he was like, this is ridiculous. It just kept flicking. He's like, when do they have sex?
When do they do
enough foreplay?
It was very good. And then I largely cannot remember what I did in that evening. I probably went to Wise Guys.
Probably.
And I also had a letter in my player pack from Barion saying, sup, I'm not going to be at this summit, but my friend Revel is about, and you're going to go through the Sentinel Gate and go see him. He's going to give you a reward.
Ooh.
Very exciting. Anyway, go to sleep. Wake up. Battle. Yay. Fighting the Jotun.
Yeah.
was largely fine. Can't remember much detail at this point. I think it was... There
one of the battles of all time.
It was one of the battles. Yeah. There wasn't any interesting objectives.
No.
It was...
It went quite smoothly, didn't it?
Yeah. One thing that did... Oh, there's a few crushes, which are quite exciting. One thing that did happen is there was a herald there where I was catching my breath, and the herald was like, have you got any war stories? And I was like, yes. Hmm. So I told this herald a war story, and they were like, you get all your hero points back, and here's a Chewit.
Love it.
Nice.
Excellent. Nice. The Chewit makes it
so much
better. Was that
Leon and Pavilion?
No, it was just a person.
Okay.
It was just a herald. It was like, there you go, hero points back. On the battlefield.
Nice. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, actually, on the battlefield, speakers were covered in flames and they were like, tell me a war story. Told it to them and they're like, have your hero points back. And then left after giving me a Chewit. And something else happened. Oh, yeah, also, we were there. The Jotun had organized a retreat. They'd surrendered and they were backing off. And then one of the heralds came up to me and they were like, why aren't you killing them? And they're like, oh, because they've surrendered. That's boring. Go kill them. I'll give you a reward if you go kill them. I'll pay you. And we were like,
do it.
Wow. As tempting as it was, they were literally like, I will give you money if you go kill those Jotun.
Yeah, but you're not leaguers, so.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. They're like, it's boring. This is boring. This isn't war. very good fun. Battle happened. That's when I went for my rewarding ceremony. So we went through the Sentinel Gate and we found ourselves in a beautiful glade of the Summer Realm. A Revel was sat there in his big old throne. And we had to go through our, describe what we did to succeed in the challenge. Much like I did on this podcast, I was very vague about my challenge. And the Revel was like, I think we'll leave it there. I was like, yes, we will. And everyone was like, what the hell? I was like, never mind. And I was presented with a sword called Darklight.
Fancy.
Badass.
Which was very exciting. I'm not going to say what it does because it's a nice surprise when I use it against people. Mm-hmm. I've got a very fancy sword, which I'm very happy with. And I got a little pin from Barion, which was nice.
A little treat.
A little treat. It's got a little owl on it. And then also there was two people that got called up to speak to Barion, to Revel rather. And I was like, why are they getting called up but not me? Mm-hmm. And they said, I would like to extend to you the gift of becoming a changeling. I was like, ah, that's why.
Because you were already a changeling.
I already have a changeling. So they did. We were all the changelings on the bench were going, one of us, one of us, one of us. So they took the cider and got peer pressured into being lineaged. They're now permanently changelings.
Oh, wow.
They drunk some magic cider and now they're permanently changelings.
Oh,
it It was very funny. And then what else happened? Oh yeah, and then I presented Barry with a flower code because I had to give him a flower that meant friendship. So I gave him a code. I was like, "This is yours now, and here's a flower of friendship." And Revel looked at me like, "It's very presumptuous. Thank you," which was very exciting.
What did it mean?
Sorry.
What? Friendship.
Friendship.
I gave him a flower that meant friendship.
What color is it? Sorry.
Oh, you find out in play.
Well, I won't.
It's Tristan's spoilers.
Not,
spoilers.
Tristan's never going to give Neve Rose.
No, this is specifically, I gave Barion a flower code for himself. So if Barion's house now has a flower code that it didn't have before because I've given it to him. So now they have their own special flower code that
I've
given
to them. Oh, that's
kind of cool. Like, yeah. For example, me and the Jackdaws took pink from Core Draco as threatening. It wasn't threatening, but...
So I'm going to now I'm now going to give Revel flowers when I see him that mean things, yeah. Which is very fun. What else happened? Oh, some troubadours arrived, which was cool to talk about Deadwood Night. Unfortunately, yeah. I couldn't fit in the tent. Then I went on a Valorn skirmish.
Ooh. Oh.
Went on this Valorn skirmish, and as we were going on, I realised I hadn't put my van braces on. And I was chatting to a woman next to me, and she goes, "Oh, I've got one. Do you want to use this? Do you want to use mine?" I was like, "Oh, I can't take it off you." Mm. Like, yeah, no, go on, it's fine, take it. Just if I die, give it back to my Earl. And I kind of chuckled. Yeah. And obviously, put it on. Dornish Hearth magic is when you gird, because you gird and so you can gird as personalities and it can be a part of you. So it's very important hearth magic. And also, it's kind of like a favor, like giving something to someone to help in a battle. So it's very cool, like bit of hearth magic.
Yeah.
Fast forward about 15 to 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and we've killed loads of Valorn. We were trying to find something, but we couldn't find it. And we started to retreat. And as we're retreating, she takes a cleave to the chest.
Oh, no.
Thunk, and just goes down. Oh, and she's the last person in the line. So I step forward and put my shield over. I've done this so many times. Shield over the top. Stay with me, trying to get them back up again. Mm. And they kept trying to get up, and then they kept getting hit and going down again. I was screaming. I had someone next to me trying to heal. And I had her hand in my hand. Literally, it was like... The arm that had the bracer on was in her hand, ripped from it. Someone pulled me away from her and we got dragged off and then she died.
Yeah. That's drama. Wild.
I was like, what? What? And we came off and I was like talk to someone from their house afterwards. I was like, that was fuck.
Yeah.
And then we came off and he was barely holding it together and I passed him the bracer and he just broke down.
Oh, no.
And emotional it was such like damage. It was such a good moment. Oh. It was awful. Like, honestly, it created like a lot of RP after that. Yeah. I had like some good moments with their house and stuff. But yeah, really cool moment. So that was the end of my Valorn skirmish. And that hopefully brings us up to...
Yeah, I mean, last thing I talked about, I think, was the troubadour meeting.
Perfect. So excellent.
Yeah.
And that was Morgan's Friday and Saturday afternoon.
Well, the next thing I did really in the Saturday was I was waiting around for like the big warding that we do once a year, you know, the transition from the wolves from one person to another person. So Twig was there as we were all gathering around and they didn't want to give the wolves away and they tried to run away. I think it's because it was going into a young girl.
I think Twig just secretly enjoys having the wolves and all the chaos it brings.
No, though actually, just before the big warding, I was waiting around with Twig and the Brass Coast came through with like a big rope around like a crowd of people saying, "This is the Kraken, we're on a ship." And then we jumped on it for a second, then Twig refused a free grape and someone was like, "They're refusing hospitality, it's a wolf," and we both ran away. And the Navarre came through as well doing their, "It's spring." So then Twig had a tug of war match with Navarre and Varushka won. Varushka. But then, yeah, the big warding, as I've been referring to it. Sorry, that's most likely the wrong term.
But oh, well, yeah, it's the chasing of the wolves, right?
Yeah, it's the chasing of the wolves. Yeah, so as what that is, basically, for anyone who doesn't know, is it's basically like warding, but we're meant to go around the whole of Anvil, I believe, but we didn't, I think maybe because of the mud. It wasn't as safe or it would take longer, you know, to trek through the wood, mud. But basically, there was about five or six people who were wolves, or the wolves were in them whilst we were going around. and they'd like come and try and like lure us away from the group, and we'd have to shake our instruments at them and then go away. And it was really fun. And we were all wearing animal masks, so I had my beak on, my little honk beak. I was like honking at people and shaking my tambourine.
I loved your beak.
It was so much fun. And then everyone else was wearing, or loads of other people were wearing animal masks of different kinds to represent the different virtues. They usually have like a big Zoria puppet, but it wasn't safe enough to carry that around.
No,
so instead, one of the people I know, OC in Verushka, ended up having to dress up as Zoria and had like the giant hands from the puppet that people had to puppeteer and walk alongside her.
Nice.
Which was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. And then like getting round to Verushka, like I'm here being a silly little goose, having lots of fun. And then we get back into Verushka and the people who are the wolves can't come in. And this girl is like crying. So like, you don't know what it's like. It's like really dramatic. And I'm there like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be having such a good time. This is actually pretty traumatic. But no, she was really good role play. And that was who the wolves have now gone into after Twig. And you know, it was a really cool moment. It's really nice to finally found a nation where I'm like invested in like the culture for it.
We've said this already, I think, but you do seem to have really hit your stride in Verushka.
Absolutely. I think as much as I keep saying like new nation every year, like I think I've done that enough. I've found my nation. I'm gonna stay with Radka.
For more than a year?
Maybe. Well, the thing is, I can't imagine retiring Radka.
Yeah.
So I might start taking the battlefield. And then if she dies, then that would be my opportunity to move to a new character. But, you know, let's see how much I say. Because I always say, oh, I might monster. And then I've monstered once and I've never actually fought. So I don't know if I actually would take the battlefield. But I can't see myself retiring Radka, even though Hens is moving to the Jackdaws and my dad will be transferring his character to the League.
You'll still be Verushkan.
I'll still be their token Verushkan. I'm just because I know a couple of people, a few more people in Verushka OC than I actually do IC. I've been speaking to them and I'm like, look, I need to come over, like, because I don't know all their group, but they were like, no, we'll grab you, we'll bring you over, it won't be awkward, just come and have a drink with us, you get to know them. And then I'm like, you know what, yeah, once I've started talking to them, I'm sure it'll be fine. But the idea of going to a group of people that you predominantly don't know is always a bit intimidating.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And what about everyone else? This was I want to say around 7 o'clock, probably 8 o'clock, maybe. So, anyone else doing anything at that time or before?
Well, yeah. So, before, I'd probably say. So we had been bumped from our skirmish. We had missed the Prince of the Reaper's wedding because of this skirmish. Yeah, so we kind of like chilling around camp, and I had some shenanigans to be doing. So I'm sure for people that have listened for a while already know about Neve and Murdoch's little
rivalry
back and forth. But for anybody that doesn't, my character and our friend Oily's character, Murdoch, have a little prank war going. It's it's very rapidly been escalating. And it was my event to get Oily back. So a couple of the guys in the group had agreed to help me. So after last event, which he got Twilight Masquerade cast on Neve, so she was a changeling for the entire event, which it took me like a good solid half day to realise what had
what
happened.
Was happening. You just thought you were wearing the antlers for aesthetic.
Honestly, it didn't twig until someone else said it, and it was just, yeah. Anyway, so we got back after last event. We got back probably, what, half midnight at night? So, you know, we slept a lot into Monday. But by 5 o'clock on Monday, I had this all planned out with the people ready to go. Like, I was prepared for this. So I had to get some mana in my downtime and some in play. We had to have a potion made and whatever. And then we had to go to the Regio. So Dylan, who plays Ronan, was there and he was doing a ritual to curse Murdoch. So we were like, we need to do this. Like, this is the only time that we've kind of got to do it because we've got stuff later tonight. This is the only time by the time that we've queued up and we need to get it done now. So we had this plan that Ronan, myself, and someone else, we were kind of working this out. We're all going to go up and then whoever the third person we were with is, because that changed a few times, was going to run back to camp and be like, They've picked a fight with Siaka Heralds up at the Regio.
They need healing.
Like,
Murdoch, come now.
Come now, yeah. Type thing. The plan had kind of changed or whatever, and we were stood in the queue, and it was myself, Ronan, and Corin. And I was really panicking about the timing, because if when the curse gets cast, you've got 15 minutes to deliver the curse until it backfires onto you. Mm. So Dylan was like, I am not having this cast on me whatsoever. So I was like, oh, well, if we don't get him in time, then just cast it on me. I can deal with it. And he was like, oh, that was always my plan. I was like, right, cool. Right, thank you for that. Okay, yeah. Fine, fair.
I really enjoyed that mechanic. I think it's really fun that it's like, it makes the cursing like risky. Yeah. Like it's like this could, I quite enjoy that mechanic.
Cursing's got to be risky, hasn't it, really?
Yeah.
Like, for like what it is.
Yeah.
So Jord, who plays Corin, had gone back to camp and I hadn't realised it had gone. And I was like, I looked at Dil, because we weren't kind of in character at this point, because we were kind of talking about how it's all going to go down. I was like, where's Jord? He was like, oh, he's gone to go get Murdoch. And I was like, no, I was like, there's still two more people in the queue before us.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
What's going on? And Dil was just like, don't worry, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll have enough time. And I'm like, I don't think we will, you know. And I was panicking. And so obviously I wasn't at camp, so I don't know how it went down at camp. So what was it like there?
So meanwhile, at the Dreadshields camp in Navarre, we weren't sure, as you say, like who was going to run in and say that something had happened to Dylan, but Corin turned up out of breath, panting, went straight over to Oily, and once they caught their breath, was like, Dylan's been, I think it was attacked by Siaka Heralds.
Yeah.
Or he's been cleaved, or his leg's hanging up or something, we need support. And there was me and a few of the Dreadshields back at camp. It's been a while now, I can't remember who exactly. But we were like, oh, we're going to have to try and...
I know Bastard was there.
Bastard was there, yeah.
Yeah.
So we were like, right, we're going to try and have to figure out a way to get Murdoch running up there. But that was all he needed. That was all the incentive That's he good. Needed, finding out that Dylan had been like a little bit cleaved.
Bless him and his loyalty.
I know.
And he was what not rewarded for it.
No. So straight away, Oily was just like, right, and his little kilt just started sprinting. So then we were keeping up pace with Oily because he was going so quick.
And remember that it was muddy as fuck and slippy and squelchy.
No, he was sprinting and we
imagine if he'd fallen in the mud a few times and got there and, you know, and then Oily to be cursed.
Oh, God, yeah. So we were running behind him, and I caught up to him at one point, and I was like, just trying to like lay it on a bit thick and say like, what the hell happened? What? And Oily was saying like, why are there Siak Heralds in Anvil? You know. And I was like,
question also, why would they not go to the hospital?
None of these things make any sense.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not even sure what they are, Oily, but we better go help. Or Murdoch. So yeah, kept running, and then I think we just stopped briefly because we were all massively out of breath for like a few seconds when we went through a really muddy bit, and then again the sprinting started and we carried on, and then we got there and I saw, and I think Big Bastard as well must have seen that you guys weren't ready yet, because there was just Chloe's and Dylan's head popping up near the Regio next to the ref tent.
We were trying to hide so you couldn't see us.
Yeah, and you both looked really panicked and were shaking your heads, and I was like, shit, it's not ready yet. And then on cue, Big Bastard just dropped to the floor and started, because he's an actor as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think. And it really came across, you know, his RP was amazing. And he started rolling around on the ground, screaming like he'd been possessed. And he was saying really funny stuff, because obviously Little Bastard just spends a ridiculous amount of money on useless shit. And he was rolling around like as though he was having these visions, like, you've got to stop him buying so much useless shit.
Well, he didn't know this.
Yeah, oh, it was so funny.
So was this like just before the Regio?
No, this was next to the Regio.
Yeah, this was right in the middle.
We distracted Oily for a little bit longer.
Yeah,
yeah. So Oily was then tending to Bastard, saying, where's Dylan? And I had to pretend, where's Ronan? And I had to pretend that I hadn't seen him. So I was like, I don't know, but we definitely need to focus on Big Bastard. This looks serious.
So we were taking a bit longer in the queue because basically there was just a couple of things that were going on, and like we were waiting for a particular ref that was in the Regio, because there were two in there, but one of them couldn't do it, so the other one had to. and we were waiting for him to become free, and the people in front of us were going through some stuff and whatever. Mm. And then I peeked in and I was like, because he was like, oh, just hang on for me. And then those people finally came out. I was like, right, but the person we need to curse is outside now, and this needs to not, he needs to not see us because we won't be able to find him otherwise. And the ref looked at me, he was like, right, fine. He was like, forget the RP, just do what you need to do and then come back and do the RP and the rego afterwards.
Oh, that was nice of him.
And I was like, king. Sound. Yes.
Yeah.
But this went on for like a fair few minutes. So Big Bastard had to keep up.
I think Big Bastard did the RP for you.
He had to keep up. So as soon as like Murdoch got him to a point where he was slightly healed and he was starting to rest and get his breath back, he then pipe up all over again and start screaming and shouting and rolling around on the ground, and so we were like holding his legs down.
Was using actual like resources to heal Big Bastard?
I think so, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I kept looking over my shoulder to see what was going on, but as that was happening, a ref walked up to us, stood directly next to a Murdoch where he was on the ground, turned to me and someone else and said, so do you want to do the curse here, or where are we cursing this person?
Oh my goodness, and I
was,
did he?
Yeah, and I was like, shush. So it kind of like dragged his attention away and was like, we're cursing them. Like that. And he was like, oh, okay. Oh, and then, luckily just as Bastard was, I think, slightly out of puff and Murdoch had managed to heal him, a very cheeky looking Neve and Ronan came around the corner.
So we had like made the potion. We had the potion made. We'd done it all, and like Dill had like necked it and like had just... we just beelined it for Oily.
Murdoch, yeah.
Yeah. And so he went, he had like blood on his hand and like put it on his face and on him. He was like, I can't even remember what he said, but he was just like, said about it. He was like, oh, I think you're feeling a little bit cold. There's a little withering touch of frost that's
got, chilling at your bones.
That's gone through you. And Oli was just like, what? What?
What?
Like, excuse me? And we were like, oh, I'm afraid you're cursed now, Murdoch, mate. Like, that's whatever. And then the ref obviously pulled us to the side and was like, okay, so what's your PID? Like, what is the curse? And the ref read out the RP effects to Oily.
Yeah.
And his face just turned like wide-eyed, like, excuse me? Like, just looked at me like, okay. He was there like, okay, all right. Like, sure.
Ooh, oh, God, I can't wait to see what he does to you now.
Oh, no. No, because I'm not really worried about this, but we'll get to this and I'll finish this up in a sec.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a point when we were at camp and obviously Murdoch's got a lot of connections, especially with the Reapers.
Yeah.
And Radek was sat at our camp and he handed me his dagger. And he was like, Neve, what does it say on that dagger there? I was like, it says you reap what you sow. He was like, yeah, I've had a nice long chat with Murdoch. And I was like,
oh, that's intimidating.
I love how well Joe plays Radek. Just the threatening undertones and the
Radek is like really lovely, but again, it's like, I will make you regret ever even thinking of crossing something like
that. We've had a bit of a chat because I was like, I know you've got loyalty to Murdoch. He's like, no, I've got loyalty to money. And I was like, yeah, that was going to be my next thing. I know you've got loyalty to Murdoch, but you've got loyalty to money and a contract, moreover. So we'll talk prices next time.
So basically Alex is going to pay to get you off the hook.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Got to get selling them
Sugar
snacks.
Daddy Otis.
Got to get selling them meads.
Yeah. But anyway, in a nutshell,
that's so funny because I was trying to remember to like say, oh, you look chilly, Murdoch, like the whole day. I kept forgetting until he was like unarmoring on Sunday, and I was like, well, you sure you want to take that off, mate? You look a bit chilly.
Yeah. So I saw him come over to me later on from the Sentinel game.
Oh, fantastic! Yes, fantastic. I'm glad. But so for anybody that doesn't know, Withering Touch of Frost is a curse that it has some effects on like herb gardens or whatever else.
Yeah, which isn't his resource anyway, yeah.
But
I used to like watching the Touch of Frost with David Jason.
Tom.
Just the thing. It was right, rhyming behind me.
Sorry, the effects of this curse, Chloe.
How's your dryer doing?
Kerry's fixed the dryer.
I rewinded a plug, sorry.
My white goods are healthy once more. Oh, the landlord also fixed the sink today.
Sorry, Chloe. We had a new shower. The plan. And move on. I'm so sorry. But I thought I expected. Sorry.
It's cool. I was just thinking about where Alex is going to cut it out.
I'm leaving it in. White goods is top content.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you think people listen?
Yeah, probably.
yeah, so it affects your resources, like herb garden or whatever, but the RP effects are basically you feel very chilly and very cold unless you are actively warming yourself next to a fire, and it lasts for an entire year. So
it'd be fun if there's a heat wave next event.
Or the next year, Murdoch is going to be a very chilly little guy, as well as having little guy
tattooed
on his soul. Oh.
Amazing.
Brilliant.
Anyway, so yes, that is the latest installment in the Murdoch Neve saga. And I've chatted for a very long time, so sorry, people.
No, it was a great story. I loved that. Yeah, I didn't realize how close it was, and that ref coming over and giving the game away.
I was actually shaking, panicking. I was like, we don't have time. It's not going to work. No. We don't have enough time. And he was like, it's fine, don't worry. And then it wasn't fine. I was like, I told you. And he looked at me and went, shit.
A little round of applause for Bastard as well for pulling that off his ass. Yeah.
Fantastic. And Corin as well.
Well done, all of you. Panicked acting.
But no, that was absolutely incredible. I think shortly after, Murdoch was like, fuck all of you, I don't need this shit, and walked into some tent to be near a fire. I don't even think they walked back to camp with us either. That miffed, icy.
That's beautiful.
So that was our afternoon. We had some other things going on the evening, but we'll let someone else take
it. Did you do anything around this time, Tom?
Yes, I went on a skirmish, and I hate to say the words, I can't talk about it because it was classified.
Ooh.
Yes, all I can say is Bertie, one of my jackdaws, went not down, not once, but twice with 10 seconds left on the bleed counter.
I'm sure that wasn't a sign of anything to come.
That wasn't a sign of anything to come. Very fun skirmish. I got to wear blue, which was fun. Blue. Because there was disguises involved. Adam saw Colwyn came, was like, oh, Nietzsche, you need a disguise, and just threw this big blue tarp over me, so I'm like,
tarp content, tarp content,
in my armor, looking like a little Russian old lady, like covering myself up.
Babushka.
That was a lot of fun. Going into the evening, invited to go to the League National Block meeting, which we're meant to go to because we're employed by them. But the Reapers had told me there was a drink your bar dry tab on Wise Guys for House Mortair. And how could I resist such an invitation? Yeah, lots of good drinks. I pretty much got on the Reapers tab because I am Reaper subcontractor, it seems.
He said it.
I said it. And to really seal the deal, and because Callum's such a good guy and wants to give game, Benno de fucking Carver have hired the Jackdaws. And do you want a drum roll for the grand price that the Jackdaws sell for? I am proud. We have underslashed what I thought were the low, low prices of Black Scar, a whole merc company for the bargain price of two thrones.
Jesus Christ.
And another really, actually really good thing, which is the Reaper Prince has promised to go with us to a big hall with a lot of money and vouch for the Jackdaws to get us a contract next year.
Hell yeah.
So that is actually a good part of the deal. So we are going to be under the command, not of the Reapers, but of Benno de fucking Carver next season. And one of the conditions is, because Benno's illiterate, Modesto has to go up to him and read him his morning paper.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So that was a lot of fun. And finally, enjoying my drinks at the bar, having a nice, well-earned evening off. Narciso and Modesto go to a wedding. About half an hour after they left, they come running back to me high as fuck, saying, Nietzsche, the spiders are eating our coin. They're all over our coin purses. They're all eating them. Yeah, they were high on off their tits on Goose Whisper.
Incredible.
Fantastic.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking
That's
about?
That's not an effect of Goose Whisper.
No, they saw visions of spiders eating their coin and tearing people down and all sorts like that.
I love Goose Whisper visions.
Yeah.
It sounded like a good vision. Not for Chloe.
Was it just our halogen fucking deciding they're sick of our shit? And like, fuck it.
Could be.
I love how you're in the nation that simps for our halogen and you fucking hate spiders.
It is the wildest thing. Because it's really funny because, like, Soph, who plays Orwin in our camp, she fucking loves our halogen. She's like, such cool thing. Like, Spider Daddy, absolutely love him. He's so fucking weird.
Why do we have to parentalize Eternals? Everyone's got daddy issues, I swear to God.
I've never seen this. thing.
There's Paladin, big bit. There's Bear Mommy. Who is
there Mushroom Daddy?
I've never heard anyone refer to Lofear as Mushroom Daddy. People have got problems. He's a network of fungus, and that is it. What is?
No one's actually said that. I was joking.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Why might say so horny?
People simp for Siaka. I really don't get the spider made of centipedes, motherfucker. Why are people hot for that? I just don't get it.
I don't think people are hot. Like, does referring to something as daddy mean that? Yeah, like necessarily.
It doesn't. Let's say it's a fact.
And basically, the final thing, I got a gift from the Reaper Prince as well, which I'll treasure forever. I got a Reaper skull mask.
Oh,
so I can play around with that with my heart's content next season.
Yeah. Excellent.
What shenanigans shall I pull?
What chicanery shall occur?
Oh, will I be a cheeky little guy or will I be a spooky little guy? Who knows?
Either way, you will be small and you will be a guy.
Most certainly. Unless a Siaka hair bites off my dick.
Yeah, that happened to someone.
What?
Someone told me that happened to them.
Horrific.
How would you roleplay that?
Oh, wow.
Into oh, Sunday. My penis. Something like that.
Yeah.
All I did for the rest of Saturday, of note, was the Ember Crawl, which you guys also went on.
Woo-hoo! Whoop-whoop! Big shout-out to Embercast.
Yeah. Thank you for letting a random Verushkin tag along.
We had a lot of cool RP with them that weekend.
Yeah.
And we've made, like, a lot of roads in, like, a relationship between our two solo groups over mutual loves and hates, we'll say. But, awesome fucking set of folks.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. And it was actually, like, we'll talk about this on the Sunday, but it was their healer, Sophie, who Icy plays. I actually did learn their name today and I completely forgot. I'm so sorry. Mm. But it's Sophie from the Fancy Nuts podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember their Icy name. I actually learned it today, annoyingly, so I'm really sorry. But, they had a key part for us on Sunday in the battle. I won't give any spoilers, but they were very integral to a very gripping story, which we'll get to.
But no, yeah, it was a great pub crawl. And
it was fantastic, yeah.
I think the highlight was at Star Bar, which is a bar I haven't really been to before.
I thought Star Bar was in a completely different place.
I thought it was in a different place.
I think it used to be in a completely different place.
I didn't realize that was Star Bar when we were there.
Yeah.
But I thought it was next to where Military Council
is. It was like
is.
In the middle of the Brass Coast, on the Brass Coast like side of the hedge, not on the Dawn side. Because I thought it was on the Dawn side of the hedge.
And they had this giant tent thing. Mm.
Yeah, I thought it was next to Military Council.
But yeah, and inside it was all like chairs. Some guy's got a chip fryer. I don't know how they've hooked up a deep fat fryer.
And they were fantastic.
But they were
chips.
Doing chips and we were all pecking at them like a group of drunk, hungry hens.
I didn't see that. I was too busy tapping my ukulele.
and the music there was fantastic. Big shout out to Jimmy fucking Hand Axe. Is it not Johnny?
No.
Is it just me shouting Jimmy, Johnny and everyone else shouting Jimmy?
I think
Jimmy?
So, yeah.
It sounds like a new thing.
I was playing along with him like all the way through the bar crawl as well. Yeah. He's the one I've referred to before doing the, just like the Hotel Transylvania, Hotel California like spin-off.
That's because I told you about the Hotel Transylvania thing.
Adam Sandler's Hotel Transylvania.
Chloe thought that's what the song was called.
Yeah. Chloe's definitely crossed my eyes. It's not just me being an idiot.
It wasn't until they sang the lyrics Hotel Transylvania and went, hey, hang on. This isn't what they say.
I know at one point, because we were playing along with, in fact, when we went through Hens on the pub crawl, I played the Hens theme tune and I was like shaking because it's not often that I play and sing for groups and it's always terrifying. But no, it was nice.
Had to tell a kickabayo off at that, at Hens.
Oh, did you? Why?
Yeah, because you know you had paid entertainment. So there was...
Oh, yeah. There was the... No, I know. I saw you tell them off actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was the Leaguish Kickabayo, Circus Kickabayos, whatever, that they were performing. Mm. And then it was someone else that was performing after.
Yeah.
And then, so she performed one song and then the guy from the Circus Kickabayos just jumped in and started singing. We were like, hang on a minute, you're not performing.
You actually had to tell him, like, no, this isn't like an open stage. This is someone else who booked a slot.
Well, I went up to him and I was like, sorry, are you planning on singing another song? And he was like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, you've had your performance, haven't you? I was like, I was like, someone else is actually performing, is paid to perform. And he was like, yeah, I'm paid to perform. And I was like, no, you were paid to perform. You've performed. Now it's someone else's turn.
Yeah.
I was like, so let her finish. And then when she's done, if you want to sing, you can.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, and then took a step back. And then,
yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh.
But yeah,
it just really pissed me off.
Jimmy Handax was awesome after. That was a bit later on. Came in and managed to get the whole place dancing.
Yeah.
Like the whole place. And Anna, I think Jake was there.
Yeah, one of your Dreadshields whipped out a guitar as well to play with.
Well, that was, yeah, Ferg, that was a massive coincidence because we were heading back to camp and just out of the blue, he was like, I might fancy my guitar. Would you mind picking it up? And we were like, yeah, sure. Because he usually just walks around and has a little play anyway. Reminds me kind of the rooster from the animation Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah.
oh, Fergie. and then just by coincidence, he ended up playing all night, like as part of the band with Jimmy Handax.
Like Jimmy was like telling him what chords to play, and he was remembering. I was stood there with my tambourine, like I really should be bolder with my music, but I'll just be percussion in the background.
Yeah.
But no, it was amazing. Like I loved Jimmy's great. Like at one point, we were like stood around at one of the other bars. And he just started improvising a song about a Navari falling in love with a goose because obviously I was wearing my goose mask, so I was just honking in between the lines and banging my tambourine. It was so funny.
And it was really cool to see. I think it was one of Anna and Steve's friends. Mm. It was their first time.
Kyle,
that was it. And to see them like dancing, having a great time and everything, I was like, yes, because you love seeing people who it's their first time at Anvil, which obviously can be quite scary for anyone.
Yeah.
Just getting stuck in and having a fantastic time. But yeah, it was lots of drinking, lots of partying. It was raining a little bit, but that didn't seem to dampen the mood whatsoever. We were all just boogieing the entire night.
It was brilliant,
yeah.
Best pub crawl I've been on.
Mm.
Did you do anything else,
Yeah, I did quite a bit. And had a very traumatic evening.
Oh, no. Trauma in your life.
I know. First, it was lovely because it was the Rashield Art Festival. So Rashield was an empress of the empire. And we have an arts festival in her name, which is very fun, so everybody can contribute. There were some beautiful paintings. There was poems. There was singing. It was very nice. Sol told a poem about the relationship between two yo folk. Like when one passes their test of metal and that kind of shift in what they're like, which was a very, very apt to the kind of friendship kind of journey we're about to go on after Tristan passes his test, which was very good. Like it was a really nice time. Some of the art was amazing. I can't really do it justice, but there's some beautiful songs and poems and stuff. So that was really good fun. Then to kind of fast forward a little bit. So I was asked by the Night Protector of Spring to try and get involved with a skirmish. Now, not by the Night Protector of Spring, the Archmage of Spring. It was led by the Night Protector of Spring. Now, currently in the Spring Realm, there's a bit of a war, if you like, between Ar-Halogen, who we've already spoken about, and Ossigaran, who is like a peace eternal, also known as Rain Dad.
Stop it, LARPers, please.
Lord Rain, Ossigaran, and they love boggarts.
Still yet to see a boggart empire.
We spoke about boggarts before, and basically, Ar-Halogen's like, oh, Ossigaran, you like boggarts, do you? You like boggarts? I'm going to fucking kill them. So we had a mission to go save some boggarts from Ar-Halogen heralds.
They're just cheeky little things.
Now, the skirmish we went on, we needed five troubadours to sing music to distract the boggarts and then lure them to a regio for them to teleport back to the Spring Realm whilst we defended them for Ar-Halogen heralds. So we had five troubadours, including Sol, and then 15 fighters. And we go through it, and they spent some time working out what the song was going to be. And the song was, go, let's go to the regio. Play, let's play in the land of Papa Rain. So they were like singing this before we went through.
That's cute.
Anyway, we go through the regio, and we get out on the other side of the gate. And we see a boggart looking at us, and they have like little moss on their faces and little antlers and stuff. Like, huh? And springing out of the bush is an Ar-Halogen herald, knocks them to the floor, slits their throat, and runs off.
No.
Because the plan was to be sneaky, but we were like, oh my God. So we like run up the field to get towards them. And yeah, basically, then there was this real contrast of like, go, let's go to the region. Quick, get that one. Oh my god, it's entangled me. Like five. And then some of them were like, some of the one that had died, one of the other ones was like quite tall, was just pointing, going, what's happened to that one? And they were all like, fine, she's fine. She's really, really fine. And they're like singing to get them to the region. And it was like, again, these heralds running around and we're fighting them. They're being sneaky and running in and out. And it was just like this absolute whiplash to be, oh, it was very funny. And there was like...
I saw a picture of the our halogen heralds.
Yeah.
Needless to say, freaked me the fuck out.
They've got like spider faces.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
There's a fantastic picture I need to show you of one of the troubadours. So there's one of the boggarts pointing, going like with their mouth open, like asking what's going on over there, and then he's like stood there with a flute, going just at them, just like don't pay attention to that. Listen to my dooting whistle. Oh, it's so funny. So we managed to get most of them in, and then we went to the other one that had been killed and cast Voice for the Dead on it, so it allows them to speak for a bit. And they're just like, what's going on? What's happening? Because they'd been killed. And they're really panicked. It's okay, you're going to go back home now. And there's like dead boggart on the floor, like really panicked.
Yeah, what happens to boggarts when they die?
Well, they die, but Viridian cast Turn the Circle, which returns their body to the Spring Realm. But she was just like, really, so you go back to Ossigar and you go back to Lord Rain. They're like, yeah, okay, yeah. And obviously they're dead and then they turn to flowers. And then the Regio was like, we're all in the Regio. Like, as all these bloody heralds are everywhere, and there's a vase sat in the middle, and where they have to jump into the vase, basically. It's like, can we get them in? They keep being like, do we have to go yet? No, all our friends are here. It's like, yes, come on, let's go. Don't panic. Everything's fine. It's everything's
giving me
okay.
Watership Down vibes.
So, yeah, it was literally like, they were so cute and innocent, but then it was like, they were going to get killed, so we had to get them in. I hear the other ones went horrifically. But yes, so that was a wonderful little encounter. We come off. We go to the little Khazar in Brass Coast, which had a lean-in pavilion, because we had another skirmish in about 20 minutes. So we had 15 minutes to go get recharged, and we sit down. And we start.
That's a good place to have a lean-in pavilion, like right near the Sentinel Gate in the Brass Coast.
Oh, it's perfect. It's honestly, it was really good. It's prosperity pricing. But yeah, you pay to go in.
What's it called?
Lean-in pavilion.
It's called the Little Khazar.
Oh.
That's the enchantment.
We're hoping to get the enchantment for the.
Yeah, I was saying
it's expensive though.
Yeah, it is. Well, hopefully, people will pay for drinks going through.
It's not. Yeah, if you're a place of business, it's not the worst. Yeah.
You were going to get it on the hot dog stand, weren't you? When you had it.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're out of the way, so people like you say, like on the Sentinel Gate, it's perfect. Cause people just pop off because you only really need it if you're going to do loads of successive skirmishes. But anyway, we're sitting there, and then a friend of mine runs over whilst I'm sitting chatting to the Brass Coast Egregore about the adventure we just did. Blood Wolf, one of my friends from Wintermark from Corvin Hall, stood there panicked, covered in blood, and just looks at me and she goes, it's Akia.
Oh yeah.
So I jump out of my chair and run over, and I'm like, what happened? And he just goes, cold sun. And then instantly I was sat with a few of my friends and Sol was there, and our next girl, which was cold sun, and like my face changed and she was like, Tristan. Because it was very much like when shit like this happens, he just kind of loses
his cool
and his sense, and it's like, oh cool. It was basically a moment of like, he's gonna die now because he's gonna go on the skirmish and be an absolute lunatic. And it was like we looked at how long we'd been there. We'd been there for 15 minutes, so we went up to the gate and all started queuing to go in. On this next skirmish, Akira died behind enemy lines, running around, and got turned to ash. So obviously Tristan was like,
"Do you go through the labyrinth if you get killed by the cold sun?"
I think so. I don't think.
I heard that if you got eaten by Siaka Herald, then you didn't.
That's not true.
Is it not?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. Like you. There's very few things that tamper with your soul. I think it's got to. Anyway, we get there. We queue up to go through the gate, and like I'm actually quite a few of my friends are there, and they're like, Tristan, don't die, don't lose it. I'm like,
no promises.
Yeah, literally. Tristan's response to don't die is, I will simply refuse. And I was just like, nodded. And then went through the gate. This time we had to protect a ritual that was going on. Mm-hmm. Casting a ritual whilst the cold sun were going, and we absolutely stomped it. Yeah. Went amazingly, wiped them all out. I think one of the coolest moments was I don't know what you call your magic users in Navarre, but a Navarre magic user was there and had cast Voice for the Dead on one of the heralds. Mm. And she was talking to it, and it was going, "You will all burn." And she was like, "When you go back to the Dead Realm, I want you to bring with you a message. We defeated you today. You are not perfect. You are flawed. We are better than you, and we're coming for you." And then ended the ritual. I was like, "Oh, that was so cool." I was like, "That was so cool."
Damn, people be good RP.
Yeah, man. Really good skirmish. Went really well. Absolutely smashed it. I think some people died, and they had a smoke machine when people got turned to ash.
Oh, wow.
Smoke was drifting over the field.
That's awesome.
Came off that skirmish on, like, not a high, but, like, feeling better. Taking my revenge. I was naming people I'd lost to the cold sun as I executed the heralds. It was very, very fun, very dramatic. Came back through, still not, you know, still like, right, okay, go back out again. Someone had sent someone up to see, check on me, and they're like, "Are you going out again?" I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Okay, are you okay?" I was like, "Mm-hmm." Mm. it was a lot. Go through the gate again. Get quite far up the field. Very different story. They just push us back, and as we're getting pushed back to the gate, someone I brought with me through to do my Baryon challenge the summit before, someone, it was called Finn, someone goes, "Where's Finn?" And we're looking around, he's from House Meliora, wears purple and white, and he's like 50 meters on the ground.
Oh, shit.
No.
And like his Earl is with us, and he's like, we're getting pushed out the gate, people have run through already.
Yeah.
And he's screaming, "Finn!" Like trying to get to strand, but everyone was dragging him out of the sentinel gate.
Yeah.
There's like the bodies littered the field.
Oh,
damn. Yeah, I don't know if it should be fine, hopefully, because I want to say it because that's some of the coolest last words from a character I've ever heard. There's loads of people were begging to be sent through the gate to the heralds because they wanted to see people before they died. And the heralds turned to Finn, and Finn just looked at him and went, "I'm not going to fucking beg." And then got turned to ash.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, that's so cool." But yeah, then I was traumatized again. Like, two people in the space of 45 minutes dead to cold sun. So that was, absolutely fantastic. I did more stuff on that evening. Mostly consoling myself. Kept going up to Pete. Oh, God. I can't cry on command, but I can get emotional sometimes. But I have like a durable aura on me, so I can draw on that to suppress suppress role play effects. But I was doing like, I'm drawing on my spiritual strength to try and be strong. But then every time I would see someone who's upset, it would just very easily came back up again. And I saw Juniper, and she came to my camp. And I just fell on her and started crying, and then she started crying because it was so much.
I think what broke me. As Tom, I didn't know about this at the time, what you told me afterwards, was Twig waiting at the gate.
Oh, yeah.
So Twig can't get their head around the fact that Akir's dead because they haven't seen the body, which is exactly the same thing that happened to Sven last year. And then when I went back out again, they're like, "You're going to get Akir, right? You're going to bring him back?" And I just couldn't say anything to them. And then, again, Bloodwolf was saying later, "What are we going to do about Twig?" And I was like, "You can't. You just have to wait." And they just look lost. Akir. Oh, Finn. Oh, my God. Very emotional evening.
Emotional empire.
Yeah. Then I spent 24 rings on 3 beers, furious.
The economy's fucked. That's true crime.
Fuming. Cried about that as well.
The enemy isn't the orcs or the heralds. It's the bloody anvil economics.
It's inflation, yeah. Mm. I'm sure I did lots of other things that evening. I was doing stuff for my test of metal, so I did a bit of a scavenger hunt, which was good fun. That was probably the best way to... They're the highlights of my Saturday. So I think that wraps us up for Saturday this week.
Woo, Saturday.
Thank you very much, everybody listening. It is great to be back. We hope you all also had a fantastic Empire. Crazy how close we already are to the next one.
Yeah.
It never ends.
Yes, thank you very much for listening. Please do like, subscribe, follow, download. Follow us on social media. I am legally obliged to read out every 5-star review that you release on iTunes. So on the Apple Podcast app. So if you do, fantastic. People have used it for adverts.
Yep.
People have used it to bully me. So please do feel free. And that engagement really does help with the podcast. Same with liking and commenting on YouTube. So yes, thank you very much. If you would like to support us in other ways, we have a Patreon at Fabletop. And also, if you want to get £15 off your first Empire ticket, you can find our referral codes in the section below, which also gives us £15 off as well. But yes, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.